Morning, birds. Hey. Birds, we have a show for you today. In a minute, we're going to go to New Zealand, kind of, and we're going to talk about a bird contest. And then, later, we're going to try to understand the medical community, and we're going to put that together with the fact that it's Danny DeVito's birthday. How about it, huh? You think he can work with all that? That's right. Is Carole King. Number one record this day in 1974. So what? Well, I thought we'd look back today a little bit at Watergate. I know, it's in the news again. We can't get rid of it. And thanks for joining us. We all joined the show a little bit late. We didn't get on the air at the moment that we're supposed to here. Technical difficulty. We wanted to, talk about the COVID, and I actually visited yesterday with Dr. Paul, and we had a technical error I just discovered, and didn't get everything that he told me on tape. However, I did visit him a while ago, and we have that. I'm gonna share that with you. It's interesting what he said just before the election about the COVID. So, yeah. And you know what is so interesting here? There was a, I almost need a, just need a proper theme here if I could. That's it, yeah. There was an election that was rigged. Did you hear about this? There was an election that was rigged, and we're going to tell you about it right now. In fact, birds, come on back here. Come on, birds. This is about the birds here. This is about New Zealand. Been to New Zealand, birds? Well, a plump, waddling parrot has soared past its competition to claim victory in New Zealand's Bird of the Year contest. That's right. It's a tense race marked by attempted voter interference during a divisive month of campaigning. This is in New Zealand. You thought that we had problems here? No, 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 no. In one event, organizers conceded was a stunning upset. The critically endangered kakapo, K-A-K-A-P-O. That's not it. Flew into first place to steal the title, ruffling the feathers of those who say the bright green parrot unfairly secured a second term as the chosen bird. We're saying there was vote fraud. That's right. That's right. The Bird of the Year controversy took flight after data analysts working with Forest and Bird, that's the name of the company, Forest and Bird, discovered that roughly 1,500 fraudulent votes had been cast. No. Fraudulent votes. The illegal votes, which were submitted using a suspicious email account and came from the same IP address in Auckland, briefly pushed the country's tiny Kiwi Puka Puku bird into the lead. The Kiwi Puku Puku bird. No, it's not it. Get out of the way. See? No. It was a brazen meddling attempt that sent officials and campaign managers into a flap. Those votes were immediately disregarded, said organizers. Quote, it's lucky we spotted this little Kiwi trying to sneak in at an extra 1,500 votes under the cover of darkness, said Laura Kiwan, who's a spokesperson for Bird of the Year, said in a statement, adding that officials did not want to see any more cheating. Well, now hang on. Emma Rawson, Emma, the Kiwi Puku Puku campaign manager said that, quote, voter fraud is not the Kiwi way, and urged people to uphold the bird's values of democracy, fairness, equality, and honesty. Birds, are you listening to me? Birds. Now they are in rapt attention listening to this. This is what they do in New Zealand here. The Kiwi is symbolic among the people of New Zealand and has been adopted as a national emblem. Now, officials urged voters to play by the rules and only vote once per email. It does sound familiar. Yeah, no, it does. Be warned, we will fine you and we will be disappointed. That's a statement on the competition's official website. Read in a bid to deter meddling ahead of the polls closing Sunday. New Zealand's Antipodean albatross, also known as the Tororoa, was the favorite to win leading polls in recent weeks. That was until the kakapo. No, the kakapo took it in its final moments. In 2018, it emerged that one person had cast, get this, an estimated 3,000 votes for New Zealand's rare shag species. One person, talk about vote fraud. The fraudsters' attempt to overthrow the competition came just 1 year after fake email addresses were set up by cunning voters attempting to sway the vote in favor of the white-faced heron. The white-faced heron. Now that's a minute. In recent weeks, local media reported that birds attempting to extend their fan base had flocked to, please, Twitter, Tinder, and TikTok in a bid to win votes. And that's what happened. So we have a rigged election in New Zealand. I'm feeling pretty good about that, you know. See, it could be worse, huh? Esquivel. I love that guy. It's the theme from Sex and the City, I think. It's 14 after the hour. It's Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago on Bleat.network. And join us, please, with your thoughts and comments and questions and feedback. It's radioanything@gmail.com. You can leave us a toll-free voicemail at 844-220-3300. So, today, actually, it is. It's Danny DeVito's birthday.
Take it from me. I am a doctor.
That's right. Danny was born on this day in 1944 in New Jersey. Boy, I love that guy. We're going to hear some stuff from him. He was on Always Sunny in Philadelphia, a Wiggy program, of course, on Taxi, and all kinds of stuff. So we'll do a little stuff from him. Yeah, it's interesting. I did go underground yesterday as Deepfoot again. And I talked to Dr. Paul, and we had technical problems. I tell you these things because it's just not the way it was in the past here. Everything that everybody's doing is just a little bit different. So anyway, I tried to tape an interview and didn't get that done. However, I want to tell you a little bit about what he said yesterday. And what was interesting, I just revisited something that I asked him about just before the election. And let's see what he said. His predictions turned out to be True. So, and you know, as I remind you,
take it from me, I am a doctor.
That's right. So, we did in fact talk to Dr. Paul here, I think. Did we? Do we have Dr. Paul? No. I can't believe this. No, really? We have another. I don't know what it is with these. I really give up here. I'm going to go find something. Is there a show back? Is it? Look, birds. Do we have a show back there at all? I'm gonna go find one. We could. Miliband, as we grab the dough. It's 20 after the hour. It's Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago on Bleat.network. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, this is just a this Tuesday. I'm overcome with philosophy today. Not a single damn button worked yesterday or today. What is that a function of? It's a function of the general meltdown of our moment and our society, and just that we've got to reinvent stuff. So I'm going to move on from that. Dr. Paul disappeared from all our audio files. I can tell you what he told me yesterday, and we'll get into that in a little bit. Mostly, he's just saying that the exciting news and the announcements and all the COVID stuff and the vaccine, he just thinks it's premature. So we'll continue to investigate that. Anyway, and that brings me to the news, and there isn't any news at all. The New York Times has a headline about how China can't figure their thing out. So I think it's a good day to just take a moment and breathe. Should we do that? So anyway, Watergate. Well, lots of stuff happening with Watergate. I did a thing yesterday on people, what they do when they're 23, and I mentioned that I was 23 during Watergate. And we look back, I think the connection there, people made a comparison from Watergate to what's going on now. And I'll tell you what's right about that and what's wrong about that. What's right about it was that, Nixon left office in 1974, and that he was thought to be a bad guy. But hang on. He was a lot less popular than Trump is now. I think also people had Nixon's number forever. You know, he was not somebody that was surprising people. So anyway, the Watergate was just kind of a leak of stuff. And at the midst of all that, he was asked whether he was a crook or not. Just take a second. Imagine President Orange Hair delivering this speech in place of Nixon. See what you get here.
In the next 8 years, I made a lot of money. I made $250,000 from a book and the serial rights, which many of you were good enough to purchase also. In the practice of law, and I'm not claiming I was worth it, but apparently former vice presidents or presidents are worth a great deal to law firms, and I did work pretty hard. But also in that period, I earned between $100,000 and $250,000 every year. So that when I, in 1968, decided to become a candidate for president, I decided to clean the decks and to put everything in real estate. I sold all my stock for $300,000. That's all I own. I sold my apartment in New York for $300,000. I'm using rough figures here. And I had $100,000 coming to me from the law firm. And so that's where the money came from. Let me just say this, and I want to say this to the television audience. I made my mistakes, but in all of my years of public life, I have never profited from public service. I've earned every cent. And in all of my years of public life, I have never obstructed justice. And I think, too, that I can say that in my years of public life, that I welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether or not their president is a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
We are amazed but not amused by
That'd be Stevie Wonder. A charting record on this day in 1974. You haven't done nothing. That was about Nixon. I should have played the speech. We could have saved time. I should have played the speech and the record at the same time. So, yeah, that was Stevie Wonder from many, many years ago. I have located a member of the medical community. Is he here?
Take it from me. I am a doctor.
Now, hang on. I think.
All right, give me 5 minutes.
There he is.
Dr. Paul.
Dr. Paul.
I think it was about in March that I first read an article about the COVID, and the word vaccine was there, and I thought it was one thing. And as of this week, every intelligence agency in the world is spying on each other, and there are dozens of vaccines. What about it?
There are a dozen vaccines, partly because the government is paying multiple companies to
our government, and
other governments are probably
sure.
subsidizing theirs as well, to try and come up with the best vaccine. So instead of putting all of their eggs in one basket, they're spreading it out and hoping that somebody comes forward with something good. So it's a decent program when you think about it, you know, trying to get as many players to come to the table as possible. Will they get a vaccine in time? Hard to say.
By the election?
Hard to say.
It's not hard for me to say. All right, but hang on. But in general, let's pretend we're in science.
Yeah.
Don't we general, wouldn't it be better to have everybody concentrating on one thing than all these dozens
well,
of scientists? What about it?
Well, okay. So I think that when you look at it in those terms, they are. You're just getting it from different companies. Company X is never going to share their proprietary information with Company Y.
They wouldn't do that.
You know, it's never going to happen. So they're going to take their avenue to development, and they're going to try and race everybody to be the first. Now, does it mean that the first one that comes out is going to be the best one? Not necessarily. And let's say a vaccine came out tomorrow. How do we really know its safety?
Ah. And
how long does it take to know if something's safe? And it really depends on what type of vaccine we're talking about. There are vaccines that are going to modify your immune system. There's vaccines that are going to be ones that are going to induce immunity by, let's say, T cell or by antibody response.
Like an immunotherapy.
Right. So it all depends on what type of vaccine you're looking for. And then what are the other ingredients in these vaccines that are going to make it safe or potentially harmful? You know, and I'll just throw a harebrained scheme out there. Not that this has anything to do with science, right?
Dr. Paul with a harebrained scheme.
Right, but let's just say that you have a vaccine that seems to work well, and we find out 3 years later that it causes something new. You know, how do we know until it's been out there? Now, I'm not saying don't get a vaccine for those types of reasons.
Like thalidomide, something bizarre like that.
Exactly. Yeah. So could that happen? Absolutely. And is that a reason to not get a vaccine? No, because, you know, they'll hopefully be safe. Perfect example, the one that they just shut down.
AstraZeneca?
Yeah. They shut it down from one person.
But that's research, yes? I mean, we would do that. That wasn't
right.
Like,
no, it's one person, and they got to look at it and say, okay, is this safe? So by the time they come to market, whichever drug company brings one forward, we'll know the short-term safety of it. The long-term safety is going to be something else that we're going to have to look at, but odds are we're not going to find another thalidomide problem.
No.
It's got to be safe in the short term.
But when you say we, when you're talking the imperial we.
Yeah.
Because I'm on the radio every
right,
morning.
Yeah.
I can tell you, we do not know what's happening.
Yeah.
Do doctors know what's happening?
I think.
Dr. Fauci looks like they're about ready to pull him back, put a mask over him permanently and not let him talk. I mean, our impression is everybody's being muzzled.
So I think that there's two sources for your information. The media. The news, you guys, right, radio, television.
Which is not very
newspaper, print, if people still read.
No.
And then there's actual data. There's studies that come out. And the studies in the peer-reviewed journals, by and large, are generally impartial, good science.
Lancet?
So every once in a while, when there's a hot topic, these journals get pressure to release papers on those topics. And they can be duped even from a peer-reviewed journal. They can be duped just like anybody else. So there's times where they'll have to retract an article. And it's happened a couple times through this crisis already, I think, even with The Lancet.
Yeah.
But by and large, good medical journals, New England Journal of Medicine, you know, surgical journals, all of these articles that are reviewed by surgeons, they're reviewed by internal medicine doctors, or reviewed by infectious disease doctors. And when those papers get published and when that paper has enough power, because we grade all of our data, right?
Yeah.
We're going to give them a scale, 1 to 5, on how effective we believe that journal article to be as far as what I'm going to use in my clinical practice.
Yeah.
And when you look at good evidence-based medicine, it guides the physicians to what to do. Now, are the physicians going to be on the TV telling you we understand it? No, they're not.
No.
So it's going to have to be something that you're going to have to deal with your individual doctor.
Is there a day in which you get a note from the FDA saying, Dr. Paul, let's go with Nixoppa, blah, blah, blah. Go ahead and prescribe it. Is that what's going to happen?
I don't think anybody relies on the FDA for that.
Yeah.
I really don't. You know, even
Are they irrelevant now? I mean, they were kind of relevant.
I think they're relevant in terms of helping us gather our information and our data. But ultimately, the treatment plan is going to come down to the infectious disease, you know, organizations or the immunology organizations getting together, a Fauci kind of guy who's going to say, this seems to be our best avenue.
And these epidemiologists, by and large, do seem to agree. Internally, do you agree with that?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of... Okay.
You know, the problem is that modeling, when they look at modeling, it's not a precise science, right?
No.
So they're based on predictions and assumptions that things either stay the same or change based on this or that. That's not really what we want.
Right.
We want to know what's actually happening. So epidemiology, you know, when they start to look at the past and say, how did we get here? They're excellent because the path is there. There's no guesses. But when they say, this is how many people are going to die, or this is how many people are going to get the disease, those are theoretical values that can change any day.
Okay.
The wind can change.
That's a spreadsheet that could...
Right.
Okay.
But when we start to look at, here's a study that showed drug X did this.
No.
And we can start analyzing the variables, and we look at it and say, okay, this seems to be a good product or a bad product. You know, those aren't opinions that this drug is the one to use.
No.
It's going to be, this is a good one or this is a bad one. And then the doctors are going to read that and say, okay, this is the one that seems to be working. Look, here's the study that showed it. My practice is going to move in that direction.
Got it.
And that's how they're going to base it. They're not going to base it on the FDA saying, well, this drug's approved.
Thank God.
Because
Dr. Paul, how are you feeling?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good. What's the worst thing that you heard out of the White House this year? You want to call me up and say, no, it's not.
You know, I was actually shocked yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday was really shocking when I actually heard that tape where Trump did say...
To Woodward?
Yes, yeah. That this was airborne and that it's much worse than the flu. Because we've been yelling that as physicians for months.
Did you hear the one where he was French kissing Kim Jong-un?
I did not.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you.
Can't put anything past me anymore, though.
Thank you. Can I come back?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Be well.
You too.
You guys are heroes. We appreciate it. See ya.
Yeah, that's Dr. Paul, and from a couple of months ago. So, how oddly prescient he was. So, 36 after the hour. I am thirsty. Anybody?
Refreshment with an ice cold bottle of Coca-Cola, and you'll really feel better.
I wanna live with the cinnamon girl. I can be happy the rest of my life with the cinnamon girl.
Not sure why Neil Young is everywhere today. Let's just oh man. I want to go home. No, just just kidding. I love it. Even on days where nothing seems to be happening properly. You know what I was actually going to share with you here is the song that I went through 1974 to try to just kind of figure out, you know, what the year was like. And I was reminding myself that some of these songs were just awful. Let's see here. Oh, no. Here's one. We got one. This is a song. This guy was a Beatle. Anybody? Ringo. That song start itself over again. It's the Haunted Studio. We do this live, and we do it every morning. It's Pandemic Pirate Radio. It's Bleep.network. On a Thursday, I think, the 17th of November. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know what? Did I mention that it's Danny DeVito's birthday? Let's hang on. Jeez, I've got to get... Wow, hang on just a second here. Well, you know what? You hear radio and stuff, you know? You've heard radio? There's about six people doing what they do there in a radio station instead of what we're doing here. All right, should we try it one more time? I'm going to have Sparks come down here. I'm gonna transport her, and we'll make everything work down here. Okay, well, should we? Oh Lord! All right, Danny DeVito's birthday. Did you watch Taxi?
Xena.
There is no way I am going back with you.
Xena, don't you love me?
I don't know what love is.
Well, you're in luck, because I do. And you know something, Xena? You couldn't hear this from anybody else, because I think that I'm the only person alive who knows what love is. Because I read what everybody else says it is, and I never see the right answer. Okay, all right. You don't want to know what love is? All right, you won't know what love is. I'll know what love is. This is your last chance to know what love is.
Okay, what is it?
Love is the end of happiness. Because one day, all a guy's gotta do to be happy is to watch the Mets. The next day, you gotta have Xena in the room watching the Mets with you. You don't know why. You're still the Mets. It's the same room. But you gotta have Xena there.
Really feel that way, Louie?
Yes.
Okay. watch the Mets without me.
Nope. Well, I can't watch him now anyway because it's the middle of the winter. But the philosophy's the same. Want to see me again, Zena?
Carole King from that era that we were talking about back in the 70s. A huge record, and that was called Tapestry, that album. It is quarter before the hour on Pandemic Pirate Radio, and we have Sparks. I brought her on the phone here. Hey, Sparks.
Morning.
There she is. You know, the only button I've hit so far is the one that connected to you. Let's see. I wanted to hear this old Coca-Cola spot. Here it is.
Get the feel of wholesome refreshment with an ice-cold bottle of Coca-Cola, and you'll really feel better. When you look hot, feel hot, and are hot, pause, go to the refrigerator, and get an ice-cold Coca-Cola. You'll find it so refreshing. Everywhere and anytime, the game has an added zest when you pause for refreshment with an ice-cold Coca-Cola. It tingles with delicious taste. Coca-Cola is the favorite beverage in countless homes. Young and old, rich and poor, all enjoy its delicious taste. Ice-cold Coca-Cola quenches your thirst. Coca-Cola is pure, wholesome refreshment. Thirst asks nothing more.
You're getting that, Sparks? No matter what your level of income or where you live, Coke is a good product for you. I wish I had one right now. What year is that from? Do you have an idea?
So it was from like early 1940s.
Wow, that's a great one. So, all right, now you and I have been trying to figure out how to push the show along here and to try to look under the, the radar. And for some reason, we're both obsessed with mushrooms. And I don't remember why, but we're gonna try to work on a mushroom guest. Remind me why did you think mushrooms? I think mushrooms are interesting. And tell me why you thought mushrooms were interesting.
For me, it was just mushrooms and fungi.
Yeah.
So I think that it's a way to kind of find alternatives to what we have right now. For example, like with packaging and stuff like that. There are some companies that are working to make mushroom packaging, mushroom styrofoam.
Yeah.
Out of fungi and stuff. Yeah.
But then they make
environmental.
They make packaging out of mushrooms?
Out of fungi.
Wow.
Yeah, out of the organisms.
Okay. All right. I did not know that. All right. That's interesting. Keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going.
So that's one thing. And then I saw that they made a chair out of. out of fungi as well. But then, in general, mushrooms are also good for your health.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Hang on,
is so much. I'm writing quickly here. So they made a mushroom. They made a chair out of a mushroom. All right, okay. Let me make that note. You know, mushrooms have cachet. I'm sure you've seen the movie, or you're aware of it, Fantasia, cartoon with Walt Disney. Had these mushrooms that were just, they were magic mushrooms. So anyway, we got to be careful. They're good for your health, but not the ones that are laced. So what do you know about mushrooms? Do you try to get them into your diet?
Me, not particularly. I have been doing some research, though, because, I was looking into vegan diets. And one thing that's good to do is know that there are a variety of mushrooms that you can actually incorporate into your diet.
Yeah.
And they have different textures and, kind of different tastes, too.
And this is not the one that you make into a chair?
No.
Actually.
No, these are the ones you eat.
Actually,
they're very multi-purpose.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. I get it. So the science is called mycology, mycolog. And we're going to try to have some expert. And they appear to be dodging us. Those more. I want to know. Listen, I want to know. I mean, we could get, at this point, people are so hungry for attention and publicity. We could name almost anything. We could say, can we get some really famous, famous person right on? And they would jump at the chance. But these people that study mushrooms, they're like, oh, I'm busy that day. So what do you make of that? Maybe they're experimenting with a product, you think?
Yeah, they're too busy out foraging for mushrooms. And, yeah.
I did some mushroom hunting when I first moved to Iowa. And you know what morel mushrooms are? Morels are this mushroom that grows only under, it's like in the shade of a tree. And when I first went out there and I was working on the radio and some guy called me up and said, hey, you want to go mushroom hunting with me? And I said, sure. So anyway, I went and the guy had, they have like these secret little areas. So we went out and picked morel mushrooms. And man, it's unbelievable. If you've ever had a fresh morel mushroom, you put in a little butter and oh boy, wow. Makes me thirsty for that Coca-Cola again. So anyway. We'll do this whole mushroom thing, but we're going to talk to professors and maybe we'll even get some cooks on. So anyway, this is the beginning of a whole thing, the mushroom show. So,
oh yeah.
I like it. Anything but Trump. Anything but anything but Watergate. So we took you back to Watergate before I let you run here. Cause we were looking back at 1974. You sent me this thing about, Watergate facts. I kind of knew most of that. What of that stuff surprised you when you looked at it? Anything? I got the facts here. The facts here. Let's see here. There you go. I mean, there's a lot of just kind of inside baseball stuff here. Let's see here. All right, the unanimous Supreme Court, United States versus Nixon, decision. That was in 1974. That did order Nixon to surrender the tapes. So that was a big one. And then, the House was going to impeach him, but he quit. So I guess the most interesting thing about this was that, let's see here. The Justice Department pondered a Nixon indictment after his resignation. You knew this, that he was succeeded by Gerald Ford, and then Ford pardoned him. And that's really the reason that Ford was not reelected. Or not he was in office, so why they didn't elect him. So anyway.
Yeah,
all right. Anyway, that was a long time ago. How else are you?
I'm good.
Good. All right. I don't know. I'm looking around the room here. It's like a bomb went off in the studio. I've got paper all over. But we'll continue moving on here. All right. So to review, Mushroom's coming up on the show. And I think we're going to try to get Harley Spiller on Friday. Harley sent me a note. Harley was supposed to be on last Friday, and he got stuck in traffic. And we're going to talk about his crazy stuff. So that's going to come up on Friday. All right. Okay. You sent me Paperback Writer by the Beatles. How come?
I was just listening to it this morning.
You were?
And I was talking to my dad yesterday. He's a big, big Beatles fan. So,
All right.
Something that came up.
Let's give it a spin. Talk to you later.
Paperback Writer.
Fab Four. It's five before the hour. Speaking of writers, all right. Barack Obama's latest memoir goes on sale today. It's called The Promised Land. It's the first of two volumes in which the former president looks back on his years leading the country. A tough time for booksellers. Pandemic has disrupted the supply chains, halted live events, book signings, and forced a lot of shops to move sales completely online. There have been a couple of exceptions. Trump-focused titles like Bob Woodward's Rage and Mary Trump's Too Much and Never Enough topped nonfiction bestseller lists in what is on track to become a record year for politics books. Although most people are actually watching TV.
talk about?
I ain't talking about nothing. This skull is Fort Knox.
Why don't you trust therapists?
I opened up to a therapist just once. I was a kid. I got into a fight. The doctor asked me question after question. Got me so scrambled up. Next thing you know, I was shanghaied upstate to a nitwit school. You know what a nitwit school is?
I assume you mean a school for the mentally disabled.
Yeah, not just for nuts in the head, bodies too. Back then, science was real crude. They stuck us all together. My roommate was a frog kid. You ever see a frog kid?
A frog kid?
Yeah, the place was windowless. There was a guard every 10 feet. All the rooms had drains in the floors so they could hose us down.
How terrible.
Got my first kiss there.
Frank?
It was terrible. But not her. She was an angel. Always smiling. That's because she had no lips. But her mouth was still very much in play.
Let's talk about the dishes.
Oh, she died 2 weeks later. She thought she was a spaceman with a plastic bag for a helmet. Oh! You unzipped me. It's all coming back. It's all coming back. I hate you. It's all coming back, you understand? I don't like it. I don't like to think about it. It's with a plastic bag for a helmet. You unzipped me.
This wide cast was produced by Natasha Rodriguez. See you tomorrow.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. Like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.